Welcome to Voices of Divine Wisdom. My name is Alex Sherling, your host for the show and IT support at Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy in Douglaston, New York. In this episode, we are continuing our conversations with the enrichment teachers at DWCA. You can listen to the previous episode in your podcast player to hear the rest of our conversations. Today, we continue to discover the difference at DWCA by meeting the rest of the enrichment staff. Enjoy. All right. Well, welcome to Voices of Divine Wisdom. It is my pleasure to have with me Daniela Filiberti.
Hello.
I have to ask, this is the first question I have to ask. You're Italian, right?
Clearly.
So can I hear you pronounce your name just once? Like, how do you want your name said?
Well, it will never be said this way in this country, but it's Daniela Filiberti.
Daniela Filiberti. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all, because that's where I come from a little bit. And it's like, that's always what I have in my head, but I'm not trying to stand out too much either.
It's okay.
But I love hearing that. Daniela, please tell us a little bit about what you do at Divine Wisdom.
Well, what do I do? I am the art teacher at Divine Wisdom. I've been the art teacher for a number of years. Actually, before it was actually Divine Wisdom. I was here when it was St. Anastasia's School.
Oh.
So I started in 2007.
Wow.
In this building. And at that time, believe it or not, I was half art teacher and half computer teacher.
Really? Oh, you were the computer teacher too? I didn't know that.
Yes. And when the school enrollment grew, I was given certain opportunities to choose from, and I opted for the art program full time.
Oh, good for you. That's so cool, actually.
So, well, in my previous life, I was a teacher for kindergarten. Mm-hmm. I worked for the DOE, and I taught first grade. But then coming back after having children, this was the right fit for me.
Very nice. 2007. That's so interesting, because I would have missed you by only 3 years. Mm-hmm. I graduated St. Anastasia in 2004. I can't believe how close that is. That's amazing.
I'm seeing young parents come in that were former students.
Yeah, for sure.
Touring the school with their children.
Wow. That's amazing. That's really cool. That's very exciting. I don't know. That to me, I think, is very cool.
It is.
So you're the art teacher here at Divine Wisdom, and you've been the art teacher since 2007, doing various jobs. Tell me, what is an experience that you've had that you really found rewarding in your time at Divine Wisdom?
Rewarding. Well, there would be quite a few, whether it would be art-related or whether it would be just student-related.
Either or.
The first thing that comes to mind, which I think is really important, is sometimes you don't realize the impact you have on a student who may not be the best art student, but a student who will come back to visit simply because you may have said something to them that mattered. Mm-hmm. And I've had quite a few over the years just come back to visit to say hello and tell me what they're doing. And they'll bring up situations that might have happened in the art room that I may not really remember, but they do.
Wow.
Whether it was just the way that we interacted, because I try to keep it very relaxed in the art room for a lot of reasons.
Sure, sure.
And I don't assign seats or anything like that. They come in and they feel really comfortable wherever they sit.
Casual.
It's organized, so they know where everything is.
Good.
And it's structured, even though it may not look like it's so structured. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps to create a very calm environment so that they can really tap into their creative side and they can talk amongst their friends while I monitor what they're doing and what they're talking about as well.
Very nice. I think there's a lot to really appreciate about creating that kind of environment where it's both able to be free enough to express, but rigid enough that things don't get out of control.
Well, yes, there has to be some order.
Absolutely. What is something that you've seen the most improved from your students going through the art program? Have you seen any changes in their creative expression or creative skills?
I've seen the improvement. Understand that I began working with the three-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I teach all of the students in the school through eighth grade.
Wow.
So some of them I've actually had since they were 3 years old.
Yeah.
So at three, what's developmentally appropriate is to simply draw simple lines, shapes, things like that. That's what they're able to do artistically at that point. And then over the years, as skills are introduced, if you look at what an eighth grader is able to produce, there's quite a lot that's happened in those years.
Well, even I think as an example, I remember during the spring fling, there's always an art project and there's a project created by every single grade. So even though there's more opportunities in the older grades, just from that point of view, it looks like there's a similar amount of contribution from each grade, such that no grade is really being held back.
Every grade is represented at the spring fling.
Right.
I'm currently working on the younger grade projects.
Oh, very good.
And the older grades, 3 through 8, are finally done.
Oh, they're already done. They're that's exciting. Done.
Yes. So now I'm focusing on the little wood projects with the younger grades.
Yeah, that's very nice. Take that off your plate. That'll be great.
Oh, I'll breathe a sigh of relief.
That's awesome. Oh, very good. So let's talk a little bit more about the younger students. So you mentioned like your approach has to be a little different at their point in learning. So how do they use materials to build motor skills, to build ways to express themselves?
Every time I approach a lesson with the younger grades, it's either related to what they're doing in the classroom or it's something seasonal. Having been a regular classroom teacher for a number of years, I always begin with a story. So I'm fortunate enough to have the smart board so I can display the story and the children are, they love when I turn the lights off. They feel like they're watching a little movie. So it always begins with the story. And then once the story is finished, we'll discuss the story and then I'll explain to them what we're going to do. When it comes to actually using the materials, they use the scissors, they learn how to use the crayons, they learn how to use the markers, they learn how to use the glue bottles versus the glue stick. And with the younger grades. And we actually sometimes with the students, I will hold their hand when they're holding the scissors and show them that you have to open and shut them, open and shut them until they get the hang of it.
Really make sure that they learn like how to do it.
Not all children are exposed to scissors as frequently as others. And some take a little bit longer to learn how to use them.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the approach with the younger grades.
And they have an opportunity to learn those things here. I think that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
This is an interesting question, and I'm really curious, actually. Is there, I don't even know. Is there an opportunity for you to interact with other classes or other grades as far as art projects go incorporated into the core subjects?
Absolutely. Years ago, we started discussing how we could connect what we were doing in the specials with what the classroom topics were being taught in the classroom. And so I've learned, having done this year after year, the topics that are being taught. And so, for example, third grade, they do different units. They learn about different parts of the world. That's just what pops into my head right now. When they were learning about Australia at the beginning of the year, I incorporate Aboriginal art. So they'll be about Aboriginal art. They'll be looking at examples of it, and we'll do something related to that. Just now, they finished, I believe they finished, if they're almost finished, learning about Antarctica. So we did the Northern Lights.
Oh, very beautiful.
And so I showed them some information about that. So it's an extension of what they're doing in the classroom. And then they used watercolor and chalk pastels to create a piece that looks like the Northern Lights.
Wow.
And in May, when they get to Mexico, it's Frida Kahlo.
Ooh.
That's third grade is what popped into my head, but I try to do that with the throughout the grades.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because I actually I was so impressed when I believe it was the first episode we had students come in that we talked to, and it was the third graders. It was one of the third graders who actually was talking about what he was learning, and he used the word Aboriginal people talking about Australia, and I was like, I think I barely know what that means. I was so impressed by that.
I learn a lot from them.
Yeah, no, it really did tie together. That was amazing. Tell me about, I'm curious, what kind of artists or what specific artists have the students learned about or have you been able to go through? And are they able to imply the influences of those artists in their own work?
That's a huge part of what I do.
Oh, cool.
whenever I see something that I might be interested in teaching the kids about, I always look to see who the artist is. I look for visuals, not only examples of the artist's work, but let's say an age-appropriate story or video that correlates with what I want to do. And sometimes I have to really be careful to make sure that what I'm showing them is appropriate.
For sure.
Not sometimes, all the time. And so I start in about first, not in about, but first graders learn about Piet Mondrian.
Oh,
if
wow.
you can visualize what his artwork might be, look like, it's hanging up in Father Smith Hall right now.
Gotcha.
It's something that a first grader could do.
Or like emulate, perhaps.
Correct. And so second grade or Jackson Pollock, that's coming up in first grade as well.
Yep.
That should be fun.
Very nice.
Second grade is learning right now about Wayne Thiebaud, who I happen to love. He's a pop artist, and he's known for cakes and pies.
Ooh.
And so just last week, I was showing, they walked in and they saw this big thing on the smart board with all these donuts. It was a painting of his.
Very
and
cool.
The kids got all excited. So then I went on to show them some more things about him, his life, his artwork. And we learned how to draw a 3D cake.
Wow.
So we did our practice run, and then they all looked at and they were so impressed with themselves. And this week they're going to start to use oil pastel on their final piece. And then we're going to talk about highlights and shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be able to add that to their cake to make it look a little bit more realistic. So that's
wow.
exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And all across the grades. That's second grade. Third grade, I'm starting Vasily Kandinsky. Fourth grade is learning about Laurel Birch. Fifth grade just finished Bernard Hoya's piece. Who am I up to? Sixth grade.
Uh-huh.
It's currently William H. Johnson
and
The Girl with the Pearl Earring. So they're finishing up William H. Johnson, and those that are done, we've already introduced Vermeer, and they're working on that. In seventh grade, Lois May Lou Jones.
Okay.
And eighth grade just finished up Romeo Bearden. And all while this was going on, we were working on the Spring Fling pieces.
Yes.
So,
right.
So that's why it was taking us a bit longer than normal because I was having group work done.
Wow. I have to do a lot more research for the show now. Suddenly, I have so much to learn.
It's interesting and I enjoy it. I enjoy spending the time looking up the artists. I enjoy finding the lessons and then doing the background work. And then bringing it to the students and hoping that they'll be as excited about it as I am.
Yeah. No, it comes through. Absolutely. Oh, which
you.
Is very cool.
Thank you.
If you could think of a specific success story from your time here, does anything stand out?
There have been a few after all these years. And it's hard to remember to go back and think 18 years ago and where everybody is now and who's kept in touch. But there is a student whose family has kept in touch. I'm thinking of Joseph Chung.
Okay.
And Joseph Chung graduated. I couldn't tell you what year. They all blur after a while.
Yeah.
I do know that he went on to the School of Art and Design.
Ooh.
And I do remember that he had designed when the public schools directory book had come out. He designed the cover of that.
Wow.
So everyone that was looking at all the public schools. He was the one that created the cover for that. So that was impressive.
That's got to feel good.
I have a copy.
Yes.
And he's currently a graphic designer at Fanatics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's the one that popped into my head right away. But there have been others. I know
of
there
course.
Was one student I had, Koya Campbell.
Okay.
From a long time ago. And I know that she was a wonderful artist and she created something for me to have at the end of the year, which I have in my house. And she, I believe at the time, wanted to go into fashion design. So if that's her path, I'm sure she's going to be very successful.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's, I imagine, the reason why you become a teacher. It's like those moments where you've put in the effort for years and years with someone, and then to see it blossom into something that just makes them happy, or they give something back to you, and just to like feel that kind of experience is the whole reason to do it.
It sure is.
Absolutely.
It's very rewarding.
So before we finish up here, I've got to ask, while we have this opportunity here speaking to all of our listeners, is there any sort of fun facts that you want to share with the community of Divine Wisdom?
Well, I already said that I was here for 18 years. I don't know if this is really a fun fact, but there's only one person in this building who's been here longer than me.
There's only one person.
Can you guess who?
I was about to say, I wonder if I can. I don't know that I can, but I'm going to try. I feel like it's someone in the main office. Mm-hmm. But which one is it? I'm gonna guess that it's Linda Keppel.
Nope.
I don't know who.
Sylvia Rosia.
It's Sylvia.
She started in this building 2 years before me.
I couldn't remember if it was between Linda, Sylvia, and Debbie. I knew it wasn't Miriam. I learned how long she'd been here on the previous episode. You said she was here 2 years before you.
Yes. Wow. I started in 2007. She was actually my son's nursery school teacher.
Oh, that's so cute.
And second grade teacher.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. And my daughter's second grade teacher.
Wow. Well, good for you. Really, certainly a pin in your hat. That's awesome.
Yeah. Long time.
Well, Daniela, I hope you had a good time.
I did.
It was a pleasure. I want to come back. You. Good. We'll let everyone know. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Voices of Divine Wisdom. What is your title, actually?
Hello, my title is I am the Health and Wellness Director and Physical Education Teacher.
Got it. And your name is?
Laura DiMarcello.
Even better. Well, it's a pleasure having you, Laura. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start very simple. You've been at Divine Wisdom for how long?
I have been teaching a little over 22 years.
Oh my gosh, but not all here.
Divine Wisdom, over 12 years.
Oh, wow. I actually didn't know that. Over 12 years. And when you started at Divine Wisdom, what role did you have?
I was the second grade teacher.
Oh, okay.
And then I was the fourth grade teacher.
Right. That's when I met you.
That's when I met you. And this year, I took on my role as phys ed and the health and wellness coordinator.
Right. So tell me a little bit about your new role. So this is the first time you've done this job in your 22 years of teaching.
So right now, we revamped the physical education. We incorporated health and wellness. Mm-hmm. We teach the kids a little bit about mindset activities we're doing. We're incorporating sports and cardio, yoga. We have lessons that we're implementing with the children and mini workshops. For example, our 7th and 8th graders in the fall made vision boards.
Oh, okay. What's on those vision boards?
So we went through a period of 2 weeks going over goals that the student had and what they envisioned. And they had to set their goals and what they saw personally, physically, and they put together these vision boards.
Cool. And we have the newsletter also, the regular newsletter that you've been writing. I have to admit, I've been reading the last couple of them, actually, and I was surprised. There's actually a lot of practical advice for both students and parents on not only just how to make like healthy physical choices, but also healthy dietary choices, things like that. You have a lot of knowledge about that. Where does that come from?
So right before COVID, I had an interest in health and wellness all my life, and I started taking workshops, and then I became a health and wellness coach about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I've been doing that, and I'm enjoying it very much, and I've had the pleasure now to implement it and work with the kids.
And what's the response so far? How do you feel how the teachers, the students, and maybe the parents, how are they reacting to this new change?
The kids are excited. There's a better rapport. There's the parents are enjoying it. We've also implemented, for example, Wellness Wednesdays, ooh, where the kids wear their sneakers to school. And okay, we call it like get out and move. So throughout the day, the teachers also do like movement with the children. We do activities in phys ed. We've also did in the fall, we had Wellness Wednesdays, fitness classes for the parents in the afternoon. Oh, so there's cool. A lot going on.
Yeah, I even find for myself just sitting for a long period of time, whether it be working or driving, I almost on a timer have to get myself up every hour or two just to keep blood flowing or something, just to keep moving. Very helpful. So let's focus back to Divine Wisdom for a second. So you started here 12 years ago. If you could pick like a single moment in your time here that you really feel like it was a rewarding experience, does anything come to mind?
There's a lot of rewarding experience because the community here, we are a supportive community. It's kind of like we're a family. Mm-hmm. And coming together it's special, I want to say. And one thing that just stands out to me is our faith, mm-hmm. our religion, how we come together in prayer and we reflect. And it's those moments that the kids enjoy too, I want to say. It's that spiritual connection, I have to say.
Yeah, it's interesting now that we've done a couple of these episodes, there's a lot of themes of community and faith from both parents and students, actually, which is really encouraging to hear. What would you say is the impact of these new nutrition and exercise initiatives on the academic life of the students here?
Well, one thing that we're teaching the kids is that proper nutrition does improve cognitive function and concentration. Mm. Exercise, we're trying to teach them that it's a happy thing to do. You know, exercise is not a chore. So it enhances their mood, it enhances their well-being. And when you put both together, it focuses on mental well-being, which is something we've been promoting this year, the Happiness Project that the kids have been working on with our faculty, making kids aware of their feelings, knowing what those feelings are. So if you're positive and you feel good, you know, you feel good spiritually, emotionally, and it's like a cycle that we go through.
And I think all those things very holistic as well, where if you can feed the mind and it can feed the body and it can support one another in that way, I think that's really helpful. What would you recommend is a good daily habit for a student here in the academy? Like, what is your recommendation for improving health and wellness?
Well, I would tell the students is you have to develop your healthy habits by doing them every day. So like what you're learning in the classroom, you bring it at home, you bring it outside. It's fostering that balance, and it could be an example like hydration, let's say, or sleep habits. It could be another example of just eating healthy foods.
Mm-hmm. Just building the habit and seeing the sort of long-term benefits of it from doing it over a long period of time. Are there any specific programs you could share that promote a healthy lifestyle, especially during flu season?
So one thing we did this fall was we talked to the kids about cold and flu, how to prevent it, what were the causes.
Very good.
The kids did a 20-minute activity in class in phys ed. For example, the younger kids did a trifold, cut and paste.
Oh, okay.
Our older kids did posters, and our fifth and sixth graders, they wrote public service announcements, which every day different students talked about the do's and don'ts of cold and flu. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the month, we had a city MD visit us, and they visit the students in the classroom talking about the cold and flu and how to protect yourself. And then at the end, we gave out pocket cards to each student that had, even the faculty and staff, you know, they're just little pocket cards, reminders how to take care of yourself, building that your immune system during cold and flu.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, especially during this time. I mean, I just came from last week recovering myself, so I get it. What is the physical education program here doing? You mentioned rapport earlier being built amongst the students. What is the physical education program doing here to build that camaraderie amongst students?
So like I said before, they're building healthy habits. Two, they feel good about themselves is what we're teaching them. Three, we're encouraging them to set goals. Mm-hmm. Another example could be just teaching them to share their successes and their failures. You know, it's not being the best. It's about trying and doing. Like we say, it's not about saying, oh, I'm sorry. Like, for example, I can't run fast. No, it's about I'm going to do better. I want to do better. I want to aspire to do better, I should say. And we encourage them, just like in the classroom. No idea is a bad idea. We value their opinion. Mm-hmm. And that is something, you know, encouragement goes a long way.
Right. Makes them feel validated, like their sort of decisions are mattering, things like that. That sounds really good. What about reinforcing healthy habits at home? What can you say about that?
Good question. So for starters, I would say we would have to model healthy habits at home. Parents should model healthy habits at home, whether it's eating, cooking healthy, food shopping, taking the kids with them, eating together as a family. Another idea, teaching hygiene at home, encouraging physical activities, maybe setting goals together, practicing mindfulness, you know, like, for example, the yoga that we do in school, that how we're meditating with the kids, doing that at home, different methods. And I would say celebrate your wins with your children. That's a big thing.
That sounds cool. That's a good way to put it. There's a book I always pass. It's right outside the STEM lab. I think it's titled something like Why Brush Your Teeth Every Day or something like that. And I see it and I always think to myself, that's really, I don't know how much I would want to read that as a kid, but I get it. It's so important to lay it out. Like, why are my parents telling me to do this every day? Because I know I was pushing back against my parents when I was younger. And now that I've spent money on dental bills, now I'm like, now it makes sense. So I like seeing those kinds of influences that especially the parents can help with. Is there anything else you could share as far as what can benefit the students and the families just outside of the building? Like, for example, what advice might you give to an eighth grader who's graduating, going to high school? Like, what do you hope to see them carry with them from here?
Well, good question. I think I would tell students, take what you learned, you know, in the classroom, whether it's phys ed, in school here, and apply it to your outside life. I think use it, add to it, take away from it, build on your mistakes, grow from your mistakes, stay active, continue to hydrate and make good choices. I would say be aware of your surroundings, who you're hanging out with, make good choices. And also, I go back to remember where you came from. So here, remember divine wisdom, what we taught you, and remember praying. It's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Christ is part of us, your faith. Always believe in what you can do and accomplish.
Right. Even just that habit, like, that just promotes good habit building. Before we wrap up, I was curious if you would be willing, while we have this opportunity here, is there anything that you want to share with the students and everyone that people might not know about you?
So you want a fun fact?
Let's call it a fun fact.
A fun fact is I hold a black belt in Taekwondo.
Oh.
So there's a fun fact.
Wait, I didn't know this.
Yes.
Wait, how long have you had a black belt?
I want to say 8 years ago. I got my black belt 8-9 years ago.
Oh, yes. That's really cool.
Yes.
Do you still practice Taekwondo?
On and off, yes. I still practice Taekwondo. So fitness has always been a thing for me. So I always enjoyed it, staying active.
That's so cool. Oh, that was a great answer. Good job. Well, Laura, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
A big thanks to the entire Enrichment faculty for taking their time to talk to us and share their stories. Their dedication ensures our enrichment programs continue to thrive and inspire. We can't wait for you to tune in next time, where there's always more to explore. Suzanne Carl is our executive producer. Recording, editing, mixing, and mastering by Tony DiToronto. Bob Sherling is the chairperson at Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy. Miriam Benici is the principal. Music by Maria Caputo. Logo created by Queen Snoopy. Special thanks this week to Daniela Filiberti, Diana Flores, Laura DiMarcello, Anthony Russo, Frank Signorello, and I'm your host, Alex Sherling. Voices of Divine Wisdom Podcast is recorded at Divine Wisdom Catholic Academy in beautiful Queens, New York. This has been a Pixel Noise podcast. To learn more, go to pixelnoise.tech. That's pixelnoise.tech. Thank you.